Good morning. Good morning. How are all of you? You're good? Great? Wonderful? Awesome? Oh man, it is so good to see you. It's so good to be here. For those of you who have no idea who I am, my name is Karen. I have the huge privilege of being on staff here at this church and a huge honor and privilege to get to speak to you today. Last week, Pastor, I was like, get ready, Karen's bringing the fire. And I was like, okay. But truly this morning, I feel like I'm exploding with excitement to just bring to you this message. So I'm really, really pumped, and I believe that you're going to be blessed. You're going to leave today inspired, challenged, and encouraged to live an amazing life of freedom that God has called you to. And of course, we want to give a massive shout out to our incredible leaders and pastors, Pastor Roy and Christina. Again, if this is your first time here today, make sure you come back next week and hear Pastor Roy speak. He is an incredible communicator. But Pastor Roy and Chris are out on the beach, hopefully, right now, soaking up some sun. So Pastor Roy and Chris, we just love you. We honor you today, if they're watching or not. But we just love, love our pastors. And if you don't know, we have kicked off the new year with a theme of freedom. Pastor Roy's been talking the last couple of weeks about living in freedom, and it has been so good. He's talked about demolishing strongholds, recognizing areas of our life where maybe the enemy is kind of messing with us and saying, no more, and getting freedom in our area and in our life in that area. And he talked also about living a life in order. And so I believe today is like the end of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Is anybody like, hallelujah, I can eat food again? But I love that he talked about being body-led or spirit-led. That really stuck out to me. And it's like the point of fasting, which, by the way, is not just a start of the year thing. I think we should do it all throughout the year. It's an amazing practice and discipline. But we are called to be spirit-led. So when we say no to our body and we put our life into alignment and we live spirit-led, there is so much more freedom in our lives. And then last week he talked about taking ground and keeping ground, right? Do you remember that? If not, you can listen back to all of these amazing messages. But take ground and keep ground. And Pastor Roy kept mentioning Galatians 5 verse 1, which says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Stand firm in the freedom that you have taken already this year and get ready to take more ground. I love that last week, Pastor Ray, he talked about it's little by little. It's like this little plot of ground and we get freedom in this area and then we move on to the next plot of ground. And it is constant throughout our whole life. So this theme of living in freedom, it's not just for January 2025. It's for all of 2025 and actually for the rest of our lives, right? Tilling the ground, getting more and more freedom. So today freedom is here to stay, but I'm kind of wrapping up the series talking about freedom from God and living in freedom for God. And I'm going to give you four questions and four challenges. Four questions and four challenges. But before we get into it, why don't we just pray? Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. You're already here. You're already doing amazing things in our midst. But God, we just say, come have your way. Come do what you want to do. Because God, we know following you is the path to freedom. And Jesus, we love you. We love to be in your presence. We love to be in your house. God, I just thank you for the power of your word as we read scripture today. God, may it just burn in people's hearts. May it ignite something in us today to live for you. No holding back. No hesitancy, God, because you are the only one we could ever live for. Jesus, we love you. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Question one. Do you know how loved you are? Do you know how loved you are? Oh my word, I already feel teary, guys. This is not good. So the most common scripture, probably on the planet, probably like almost everybody has heard this scripture, and it is about you this morning. John 3:16. for God so loved the world. Some parts of the world, some people groups. No, the whole world. If you exist, if you're breathing air today, this verse is about you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If any of you are like me and you grew up in a Christian home, sometimes you get so familiar, so beautifully familiar in a way, with the love and the goodness of God. And we're just like, yeah, God loves me. Yeah, I'm living my life to tell other people that God loves them. But yeah, God loves me. I get it. No, do you know how much God loves you? I think if we really let this revelation sink in, it's so simple. But do you know that the God who put the stars in the sky, who put together every single cell of your body, who knows everything there is to know, the King of the universe, the most powerful person who has ever existed, not only knows who you are, but desperately loves you just the way that you are. He loves you. 1 John 4, 9-11. I love these verses. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How many of you have had a rough day? Not today necessarily, but just in general. That's everybody's hand should go up. Anyway, I didn't ask the question well. But have you ever had one of those days where it's just like, you're just moody, something's off, or it's like a really terrible day. And as a result, you treat the people around you that you deeply love and care about, and you treat them not so great. You snap at them, you're a bit moody, and you're like, you're even recognizing in the moment, you're like, oh my goodness, I am not loving people well, but like, I'm just in this mood, whatever, I'm just having a rough day. Can anybody relate with me? Yeah, all of us probably, right? Recently, when I've had those moments, I have figured out, let me put it this way, a remedy or a cure. And if I can, I get away, I'll go to the bathroom or like close myself in a closet, and I'll just be like, okay, Jesus, I'm going to remember that you love me. In the middle of my mess, in the middle of whatever is going on, in the middle of my moodiness, and like I'm trying to change that, but God, I just remember that you love me. You know my name. You know my history. You have seen me all the days of my life. You are constantly faithful. I just remind myself of the love of my Savior. And when I come out of that space, the overflow of that love that I have now received spills out onto everybody around me. And I love people so much better. And I love this verse in 1 John that's like, if we remember that God is love and we get all the love that we could possibly ever need from him, it spills out onto the people around us. If you want to love people around you well, just remember how much God loves you. Just remember how much he loves you. So that's my first question. Do you know how loved you are? And then my challenge is to fall in love. Fall in love with Jesus. And for those who maybe do not know, I am a recently engaged woman. Yeah! I'm very excited to marry my favorite person on the whole planet in a couple of months. It's very good. So I know a little something about falling in love. I don't know what Corky just said, but he made a funny comment. And for me, falling in love with my fiance looked a lot like spending intentional time with him, having conversations, asking questions. And God is not a fiance or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. He is God. But he relates with us in such relational terms, in such relational ways, very similar to a human to human. God's like, I want to actually just hang out with you. I want to have conversations with you. I want you to ask me questions. When's the last time that you asked God a question? And so if you want to live in freedom, truly, I believe, spend intentional time with Jesus. Spend intentional time with him. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good." All right, I know we just finished fasting, so we can talk about food now. This is the part where I need you to talk to me, okay? So everybody just tell me on the count of three, what is your favorite dinner, like recipe or meal, your favorite dinner? Everybody's like, ooh, I can't think about this. Okay, one, two, three, just shout it out. Oh, okay, Mia, you said steak and potatoes. So steak and potatoes. I don't have steak and potatoes very often, so I'm going to ask Mia to please describe to me the taste. Everyone's going to be like, I'm so hungry. Describe to me in the most colorful language you can manage the taste of steak and potatoes.
I don't know.
give me one word.
Oh, salty and like tender and like juicy thing. I'm like the first word that came to my mind is like bloody because I like it medium rare, but like I like it rare.
Okay, thank you, Mia. Thank you. Steak and potatoes. Okay, salty, juicy, bloody. Okay, I love it. Okay, for a moment, go with me in this. Let's pretend I have never in my whole life had steak and potatoes. Okay, never. Mia has just described to me, in very interesting words, the taste of steak and potatoes. Salty, juicy, bloody. Okay. I can't get over that. So tell me, because I have now heard a description of the taste of steak and potatoes, does that mean I have tasted steak and potatoes? Absolutely not. I got to go over to Mia's house, sit at the dinner table and have steak and potatoes with her to taste it. I have to take a bite of it, right? This verse talks about taste and see that the Lord is good. I just wonder if there's any of us who sometimes live off of hearing the description of the taste of the goodness of God, and we trust in him based on that. And we don't trust in him and we don't fall in love with him based on taking a bite for ourselves of his goodness. You have to taste and see for yourself who God is. Because we hear all the testimonies, right? We hear people talk about God provided for this or I had a breakthrough in this. And testimonies are amazing. Please keep telling them. But if you are like, okay, I'm hearing that God's pretty good. I'm hearing that he provides. I'm hearing that he's faithful. So, okay. No. You get a revelation for yourself. You taste and see for yourself because that's what sticks. The most powerful moments I have ever had in my life with Jesus have been me and the Holy Spirit in my bedroom and nobody else there. When's the last time you and Jesus just got together and it was just you and him and you tasted for yourself? You took a bite, as it were, of the goodness of God. And James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Jesus loves you. He is waiting and he is so excited to just be with you. Go on a date with Jesus. As weird as that sounds, I have done that so many times and it is a beautiful thing. Do you know how loved you are? Fall in love with Jesus. If you want to live in freedom, spend intentional time with Jesus. Question two. Do you worry about the future or fear missing out? Do you worry about the future or fear missing out? I'm just going to give you some scripture for this one because there is nothing better than the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. He has good plans for your future. I love this passage in Matthew 6. It's a few verses, but we'll just read it all the way through. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you so much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Oh, worrying never helps, hey? We so often are like worried or stressed, and it's like, that doesn't actually help the situation. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father, he knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And really, with this question that I'm asking of, do you worry about the future or fear missing out? What I'm trying to get at is, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? Do you have a chaotic mind? Just like racing with things that you're concerned or worried about or weighed down by? Do you have a peaceful mind? Because my second challenge for you today is to fill your mind with things above. Fill your mind with things above. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2 says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What would happen if we filled our mind with what God says about us? What if we filled our minds every day with how much God loves us? There's a very scary verse in the Bible. At least I think it's scary. Do you want to hear it? Everyone's like, no. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Because what you think, what runs through your mind, especially the stuff on repeat, becomes the belief of your heart. And the belief of your heart affects the actions of your life. If I think multiple times every day, for example, if I thought, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, if that was on repeat in my mind, it's just a thought, it's fine, it's just a thought. No, if that's on repeat in my mind, you better believe that's going to become a belief of my heart. And if I believe about myself that I'm ugly or I'm unwanted or fill in the blank, how do you think I'm going to start living? Shoulders go down. I'm like a little shy. I'm like not okay, not confident, right? If that's the belief of my heart, but it starts as a thought in your mind. The reverse, if the thought's going through my mind, I'm valuable, I'm beautiful, God does not create garbage and he made me, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If that is going through my mind, you better believe that's going to become a belief of my heart, and you better believe that's going to be the way that I'm going to walk and talk, and that's going to affect the way that I treat other people around me, right? We got to fill our mind with the word of God. And I think everything in life, our mind is a very, it's an intense place, right? But everything in our life is either moving us towards Jesus and towards life. I'm talking about the thoughts that you think and the actions of your life is going to move us toward Jesus, or it's moving us towards death and the opposite of Jesus. I actually believe there is no middle ground that you can live in. And there is no gray space where you're like, well, I'm not like getting closer to Jesus, but I'm not going closer to the devil. So like, I'll just live somewhere in here. I think it's okay. No. The Bible has really strong language about lukewarm Christianity and people that are like in the middle somewhere. So a challenge to us is there any area of my life that I am tolerating as a gray area. And for me, something that was super practical, like happened very recently, was I love movies and TV shows. I think they're so fun. And I was watching a TV show and I just had this thought, a Holy Spirit led thought of like, this TV show is not leading me towards Jesus. It's just not. And it's probably, if I'm really honest, it's probably leading me in the opposite direction. Because if there is no middle ground, I am going one way or the other. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to go that way. And so I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, you get to decide, like, it's up to you, but do you want to do life or do you want to do death? And it's like, I don't want to be nitpicky, like allow the Holy Spirit to convict you on what it is for you. But every little thing about our life, all the decisions we make, they actually matter, right? Like if you eat McDonald's for every meal for the rest of your life, you will reap the benefits, ramifications of doing that. All the little decisions we make will add up to something, right? And we are either moving towards Jesus or moving towards death. So I was like, you know what? I can totally let go of this TV show. It really doesn't matter. Because I want to move towards life and I want to fill my mind with the Word of God. And I want to read you this quote that really convicts me every time I read it. What do I tolerate that Jesus died to set me free from? What do I tolerate that Jesus died to set me free from? Come on, we got to fill our mind with things above. All right, I'll just let that one sit there. I feel like that one's a bit heavy. But again, little by little, we get freedom in our lives, right? So allow the Holy Spirit to just minister to you however he wants to do that. Challenge 3, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 in the Amplified says, when all has been heard and the end of the matter is, fear God. Worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is Almighty God, and keep his commandments, for this applies to every person. Fear God, worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is Almighty God. And when I say fear the Lord, I don't mean like, oh, I'm so scared. It's not the I'm afraid kind of fear. It's what this verse says. It's reverence. It's a worship. It's awe-filled wonder of like, wow, God, you are God. And I am a little tiny puny human. First Samuel 2:2 says, there is no one holy like the Lord. So sorry, I think I missed something in my notes, but that's fine. We're going to roll with it. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. There is no other way. Yeah, sorry, I was supposed to do this question first, but it's fine. So the third question is, do you realize there's no other way? There is no other way to freedom. There is no other way to living the life that you would love to live, other than following Jesus. There's no other way. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm a way. I'm a kind of truth. I'm a way of life. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no other option. There is no other free life besides the one that is following Jesus. Exodus 20 verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods except Jesus. Deuteronomy 4 verse 39 says, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Absolutely no other one. Do you realize there's no other way? Again, the gray areas. It's like, man, how often do we tolerate things? And we're all on a journey. We're all getting there. But how often do we tolerate things that are leading us towards death instead of life. And a way that we can live in freedom is to fear the Lord. And another way of just saying that is to worship him. And as a reminder, worship is not the music at the beginning of the service. Worship is a heart posture of recognizing the goodness of God and the power of God. I read a book called The Awe of God by John Bevere, and it kind of changed my life. It's really, really good. And he just talked about, like, a key of living life well is to fear God every day. And to, like I love waking up and being like, hey, Jesus, how's it going? Like a friendly hello. But after reading that book, it was like, hello, God. You are God and I am not. And thank you for giving me breath. And thank you for giving me a new day. And you are the one in control. And for those of you who have done the Freedom Small Group and you're at the Freedom Weekend and stuff, this whole curriculum, it kind of kicks off with this question of what is your approach to God? I love this question. This is a bonus one. It's not in the notes. But what is your approach to God? Because if you think of him kind of just as like your pal, your buddy, someone you talk to once in a while, sometimes maybe you just, you come to church and connect with him once a week, then you will talk to him and you will interact with him in that way. But if you recognize that he is Almighty God and he is in your life 24/7 and he loves you and he has freedom for you, then you will approach him differently. So it is a question worth pondering. What is your approach to God? And so in talking about the fear of the Lord, the Bible has a lot to say about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? Worship Jesus. Recognize who he is. Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When you fear and when you worship the Lord, you are naturally being pulled towards life. It's like a magnetic pull. And this quote from the book from John Bevere says, the love of God draws us to him. The fear of God keeps us from the evil that seeks to destroy us. The love of God draws us to him. The fear of God keeps us from the evil that seeks to destroy us. If you want to live in freedom, worship God. Fear the Lord. Again, this Ecclesiastes verse. All has been heard. The end of the matter is this. Fear God. Revere and worship him, knowing that he is. And keep his commandments. For this, you want to know the meaning of life, the purpose of your life? This is the whole of man, the full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and the conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man. There's a lot of words in there, so you can reread this again at home. But you want to know your purpose in life? You want to know the way to happiness, freedom? Fear the Lord. Worship him. All right, question 4. Do you wonder if you're living well? Do you ever just wonder, think about if you're living well? Proverbs 4:26 in the Amplified says, consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be steadfast and sure. I don't know about anyone else, but I love like the beginning of the year and like analyzing life and being like, what are the goals? What are the plans for the year? All of that sort of thing. And this scripture is actually just saying, like, consider well and watch where you're going. And if you're observant of that, if you're aware of that, if you know what steps you're taking, you're going to know where you're going, and then you're going to go to a good spot and you're going to be good. Consider well where you're going. Watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and sure. Haggai 1 verse 5 says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. It is, let me say it this way. It would be very easy for all of us to go through the next 365 days and not change anything and be in the exact same place next year that we are right now. Because to do that, you don't have to change anything. You can stay in the exact same place you are. You can keep doing all the habits you already do. Right? But if you want to see change in your life, and if you want to move towards freedom, there actually has to be effort and there actually has to be change. So like a very practical example is I'm training for a marathon and it's slow and steady. And it would be so easy to sleep through my alarm, stay in my nice, cozy, warm bed and not go outside in the snow and in the cold and run. But I will not run a marathon at my goal date if I change nothing about the way that I'm living, right? If you want to be in the same place that you are next year, and I am sure that all of you are like, no, I want to be in a better place. I want to be more free. I want to be, then get ready to adjust and to change and to watch the path of your feet and to watch where you're going and get ready to be like fight for your freedom. Like Pastor Roy talked about, like, take ground. You got to get what's yours. Remember last week he talked about David sitting around the campfire and watching the lions steal the sheep. And it was like, well, okay, I guess I just lost more freedom. No, go after what's yours. But it takes some effort. So my challenge to you, challenge four, is to follow the way. Fall in love with Jesus. Fill your mind with things above. Fear the Lord and follow the way. Because following Jesus is not this secret club and this really hard thing to figure out. It's actually very obvious and it's all laid out for you in Scripture. I want to read a few verses to you. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Jesus wants you to be free. He wants you to take ground and keep ground. He's going to instruct you with his loving eye on you. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word, God, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. A lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing things and being right. The attitude and character of God. And all these things will be given to you as well. It's like Nike. Just do it. All of the things that you guys already know, just do it. I'm so encouraged by this verse in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By his divine power, he's given us everything we need for a godly life. And you wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't want to live a godly life. And you wouldn't be watching online if you didn't want to live a godly life. And guess what? You have everything you need to do that. You have everything you need. All you need to do is follow the way. Watch where you're going. Oh, I find that so encouraging. You have everything you need. And yes, it takes effort. And yes, it's going to mean adjusting. And yes, it's going to mean changing your habits. Otherwise, you're going to be in the same place that you were. But you have everything that you need. And so if you want to live in freedom, I want to encourage you to live every day in open communication with the Holy Spirit. Just live every day in open communication with him. He wants to talk to you. And the Holy Spirit is so good at reminding us of things we already know. Like, I remember, I don't know who in the room is in this season of life, but when you're in, like, I guess, late teens, early 20s, and you are like, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go? What kind of job am I going to have? All of the very practical questions, which are great to ask and great to think about. But I remember being so caught up in the details of how life was going to pan out. And I would even be like, Jesus, just tell me, like, do you want me to move to Africa? I'll move to Africa. Like, do you want me to work at McDonald's? I'll work at McDonald's. Like, just tell me, God, what do you want me to do? And sometimes having this feeling of like, it's just a mystery. I just can't figure it out. I just don't know what God wants me to do. But it is all laid out for you. And just to encourage you, God cares about every detail of your life. But I also think there are things that he kind of doesn't care about. As in, if you want to go work at McDonald's, go work at McDonald's. If you want to go to college there, go to college there. If you want to do this, you want to do that. If God has given you a desire to do something or work somewhere, and just go after it, but just live according to what God has told you. I think he's less about the nitty-gritty details that we get so distracted by and so caught up in. And he's like, do you just know that I love you? Do you just know that my word is full of promises for you? Like, do you know that you... like, do you know that you are covered by the blood? That you carry the name of Jesus in you? That the Holy Spirit lives in you? And that, by the way, when the Holy Spirit lives in you, any room that you walk into is different because you change the atmosphere. You bring the presence of God with you. You are changing your world. Do you know all of that? And it's like... then whatever room you walk into, it's fine because you're changing it. Don't get so caught up in the details of life. If you're worried about your life, if you're fearful of the future, if you're fearing missing out, it's like fill your mind with the fact that God is for you and with you wherever you go, whatever you decide to do. So if you want to live in freedom, just be in open communication with the Holy Spirit. Be like, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say right now? How can I love the people around me well? Do you know how loved you are? And if you're worried about the future, fill your mind with scripture. And do you realize there's no other way? Sorry, there's no other way to freedom except through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you know the good news this morning? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And look, I just said a lot and I gave a lot of questions and a lot of scripture and challenges. And I would just encourage you, what's the one thing that you heard today that's kind of stirring in your heart? What's the one thing? As Pastor Roy said last week, it's little by little. Don't be overwhelmed. It's little by little. Just whatever that one thing is, maybe you're in the room and you just need a fresh revelation of how much God loves you. Maybe you're in the room and you are so bogged down in your mind by worry and fear and anxiety. And you need to pull up these scriptures and you need to remember that your God is with you. He already knows all of your needs before you even ask them. Maybe there's gray areas in your life that you just tolerate and you just maybe need to just put away. Make sure God is priority and that you're walking towards life and not walking towards death. Maybe you need to just worship him in your attitude more, recognizing that he's God. Maybe you have a lot of questions about the details of life and just be comforted to know today that you actually have everything you need to live a godly, God-honoring, powerful, purpose-filled, free life. You've got everything you need. So Jesus, I just pray right now that you administer to hearts whatever the one thing is for each person. God, thank you that you love us. You love us so deeply. And God, right now we just receive that love. We just like pause. We're not in a rush in these moments. We just receive your love, God. God, I just pray that you bring peace and comfort to the anxious heart right now. Anyone in the room with just a spinning mind, God, would you just like, I want to see a picture of like the hamster wheel of our brain, just like, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And I'm anxious about this. I'm worried about this. I'm depressed. And these thoughts are not godly. And da, 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 and it's just rolling like this hamster wheel. And I just see this hand come on the hamster wheel and just slow it down until it comes to a complete stop. God, would you just bring peace and stillness. Psalm 23 talks about God leading us to still waters, to peaceful places, to green pastures. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us to the place that we need to be. And thank you, God, that you provide for every need. You know what we need before we even get a chance to ask it. You already know. And so, God, for the heart and for the mind that is spinning today, God, be their peace. Be the grace that somebody needs today. And God, we just recognize today, and even, God, we just like repent of viewing you of like less than you are. God, we're just sorry if we've made you small in our eyes. Way too often we do that. And collectively today, God, we just say, sorry. We know, God. And we remind ourselves today that you are Almighty God, King of the heavens. There is no one besides you today. We worship you, Jesus, in our mind, our heart, our attitude. It's not about songs, God, but it's a heart posture. The end of the matter is this: we are going to fear you and recognize who you are. God, thank you that freedom is here to stay. God, and as we resolve to follow you, we live freedom, in full freedom. So I just thank you, God, that you're working on us little by little. Like you would just till like plots or fields of a garden. Just working on us little by little. We love you, God, and we love the work that you're doing. And just before we sing, I want to also just give an opportunity. If anybody is in the room, maybe just keep your eyes closed for right now. But if you're in the room and you don't have that personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus yet, you haven't made a decision, you haven't made a commitment in your heart to follow him. And really, that's all that it takes. It's like if you want this life of freedom, if you want this life with Jesus, all you have to do is receive that free gift of salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you want to make the decision today to believe in him and decide and say today, I'm marking this moment, January 26, 2025, to follow Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to just say, hey, that's me. And then we'd love to just pray collectively together. So if that's you today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask that you just put your hand up. Again, we're just going to pray together and mark this moment that we are believing in Jesus. This moment is for you. So 1, 2, 3, just slip your hand up. And if anybody's watching online and you say, hey, that's for me, just put something in the comments and say, I want to make that decision today. Well, Harvest, we're just going to pray this prayer collectively together. You just repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to save me from my sins. Today, I choose to follow you every day in every way. You are my God. You are my King. I give you my life. I'm yours. Thank you for this freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate? Maybe somebody online today, somebody in the room. Amazing, amazing. And hey, if you did make that decision today, either online or in the room, on the back of your notes, you can just tick off the box that says, I prayed that salvation prayer today. We'd love to just get you a Bible and connect with you. Would you just stand to your feet? Come on, we're going to sing, and then Ted's going to close the service.
Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. You're the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Let's sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Well, that's it for our service today. Just going to pray and then we'll dismiss. God, we just thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for your love. I just pray that as we were challenged today, God, that just we realize that love, whether for the first time or just we need that reminder, God, that we would just fall back in love with you. God, we just pray that you just fill our minds with your word, God. Because you are so great. We just sang your name above all names, worthy of all praise. God, we just lift you up this morning and every day. God, as we just work to follow you, God, I just pray that you just give us wisdom and guidance as we go through our week. God, I just pray that you just bless everybody here this morning and just bless their week. Amen. Thanks, Iris.